Tonight our scripture reading is taken in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the chapter on the resurrection sets forth the truths, the doctrine of the resurrection. We're going to take our reading beginning at verse 35. We'll start to read at verse 35. The apostle in the opening parts of this chapter has shown that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the physical bodily resurrection of Christ, is the cornerstone of our Christian faith and of the gospel. He has gone on to teach that this risen Christ is also exalted to the right hand of the Heavenly Father and reigning all things over all things, to the glory of God, subduing all things unto God. And now in verse 35, the inspired Apostle Paul will deal with the question of the resurrection body. He's going to answer a question. What is the resurrection body? That will be answered in this inspired scripture. Verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, made alive, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of the flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. But the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Albeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is, and that's Adam, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless His Scripture to our heart. Tonight we look at verses 55 through 57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is surely a marvelous word of our God. It is the word that is able to breathe comfort and strength right now into our hearts if we are facing death, if we are facing severe illness, if we are facing the trials of this present life. It's a word of victory that is ours. A victory not over a nation, a victory not over poverty, a victory not over cancer, a victory not over inequality, but a victory over death and over the grave. It's a word that proclaims to us that in Jesus Christ we have not only triumphed over death and the grave, but that Jesus Christ has now made death and the grave to be our servants. He has not only destroyed them for us, but He has made them now to serve us, so that all things, including death and the grave, are for our sakes. As a fruit of His death upon Mount Calvary, and as a result of His resurrection on the third day, we have a complete, we have a final, an absolute victory. Payment has been made for our sins. Our condemnation is gone, and therefore death and the grave itself have become our servants. We pray that this word of God might work mightily in your heart and in my heart and in the hearts of our children and in the hearts of your family. And may, if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, may His word, may this word awaken by the Holy Spirit in you that faith. And if you are a child of God who has fallen into sin, or if you've lived your life now unperceived to others, but you're living your life distant from Christ, may the reality, may the power of this Word of God wipe away the vanity, the pride, the self-life that you have fallen into. And may this Word of God bring us on bended knees in praise and comfort before the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the context of our text, the Apostle Paul has come to a pinnacle of his argument, the pinnacle of his explanation of the resurrection body. He has brought us to the resurrection day itself. He's brought us in the context to the last day when the trumpet shall sound. And he has concluded, he's come to the pinnacle by quoting from Scripture. He quotes in the last part of verse 54 from Isaiah 25, verse 8. It is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death and sin and all that is against us. Even as, you remember, children, the ground under Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, that ground opened up and swallowed them whole. So Jesus Christ has taken our enemy of sin and death and the grave and condemnation, and He swallowed them up whole. And in their place, There's coming a moment, in the blink of an eye, the twinkling of an eye, that even our bodies are going to be raised up and made like unto His most glorious body. The death, the sin and death and grave have been defeated by Christ Jesus. Again, may this be the hope that guides us, that upholds us, and that compels us and drives us in this life. May it reach out to us by the power of God's grace, that this hope, this truth, may live within our hearts, that the vanishing things of this world, the present life, the pleasures and the possessions, that these things may not be the treasures of our heart, but the treasure of our heart may be Christ, and to be with Christ, and the goal to enter into heaven to be with Christ, which is far better. May this truth adjust our priority so that we are not entangled with this world, so that we could not believe, could not imagine leaving this world. If I had to leave this world, that would be the worst thing, wouldn't it? No. May this Word of God, this hope, this truth, rule in our hearts. So we see that death and the grave have been swallowed in victory. And I'd like to point out from the text that Paul is asking in verse 55 some rather bold questions. We might think too bold. That secondly, that the verses teach us a complete victory over sin and death in Christ. And finally, they leave us with a great confidence. The inspired Apostle Paul, in verse 55, is asking a rather bold question. In fact, he's really challenging death and the grave. He's even taunting them. He's challenging them. And because he's challenging death and the grave, we might fear that he's going just a bit far and rash. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? That's a bold question. Now the Apostle Paul has asked under inspiration bold questions before. You remember in Romans chapter 8, he asked these questions. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Those were bold questions. And those questions were asked by the Apostle Paul, and certainly he was not a man who played fast and loose with the idea of sin. And yet he asked, who will condemn me for sin? The man who taught total depravity as no one else has ever taught it. Who will condemn me? Who will bring me into judgment with God? And he answered, why? It is because Christ died and is risen again, who is at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us, because we are justified in Jesus Christ. There is no one, not even my own conscience, not the devil. Who will condemn us? That was a bold question, but we follow him in that question. We say, that's right, Paul. Christ has died. Christ is risen. We are forgiven. We are justified. There's none. There's none to condemn us. Remember the woman taken in adultery Jesus said, "You who are without sin, cast the stone against her." They all left. Jesus asked, "Woman, has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And the Lord said, "Go in peace." Her condemnation was taken by Jesus, and she was not condemned. But has Paul gone a bit too far now? Because he's challenging the power of death, and he's challenging the victory of the grave. And has his zeal gotten the better part of him? Death? He's going to challenge death and the grave. There are no conquerors. There are no conquerors so powerful as these two, death and the grave. Since the fall of Adam in the beginning, what one man or woman or child, merely human man, woman, or child, anyone born of father and mother, what person in the history of the world has withstood death and escaped the grave? Romans 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death came upon all men, for that all have sinned." And in this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, repeatedly we read that death now is in our bodies, and that our present body is corruptible, it's perishing, and we experience that. All of us experience that. And we begin to experience that more and more if the Lord grants us life. We are in the grip of death. Right now, we are in the grip of death. It becomes very plain to us sometimes in cancer or in different ways. And then finally, when our beloved one is dying before us, we see that they cannot breathe, that life can't stay in their body, and death will take them and will end us. And death severs all of our earthly relationships. They're over. We never come back to this life. It's over as far as this life is concerned. It's finished. We do not return from the grave to this life. Not only is death so powerful, but grave. The grave is an absolute victory as far as we are concerned. The grave has that victory. None return from that grave. The grave swallows us up. The body decays and decomposes. Our body bleaches back into the ground. It's gone. Every cemetery announces the irresistible and unavoidable power of these two, death and the grave. Paul, those two reign. Why do you challenge them? And what I've said is only a little part of death and grave. Because their titanic power, they have not this power of themselves. But they're titanic. They would not be what they were, what they are, if it were not for sin and the law which condemns sin. Death and the grave have their mighty power because of our sin. And our sin deserves the condemnation of God as is explained in God's law. And therefore death and the grave are the power of eternal death and hell. Death has a sting. O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. Paul uses the example. He says, death is like a tarantula. Death is like a scorpion. It's so deadly. It's so powerful because it's got a stinger that is able to inject a burning sting. Not a sting like a honeybee, which will just swell a finger. But the sting that death has of sin brings condemnation. Sin. Death has its power because it's because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Death looks you in the eye. And it says, my sting, my stinger is your sin. Your sin against God. Your rebellion. That you pay no attention to God of yourself. You are a rebel against Him. You delight in what He calls evil. You love yourself. You are a sinner, says death. You are a sinner. You're not simply someone who's guilty of a misdemeanor, of a felony, or of a slip. But you are guilty of treason against the living and the holy God, says death. Death reminds you of your sin. And then the grave reminds you of the strength of that sin. And the strength of sin is the law. And that means that our sin, as it is judged by God's holy law, is shown to receive condemnation. And therefore, the grave and death are not simply the end. It's not simply that you cease in existence of ourselves. But the grave and death say, because of sin and because of God's holy law and His righteousness and of His perfections, death and the grave must bring you down to destruction, to hell. And what man and what woman, what child born of man and of woman can escape it? None. None. Who can defeat it? Death, the grave, sin, condemnation, and hell. Who can defeat them? Born of men and women, none. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul, we were with you when you challenged someone to condemn you, to separate you from the love of God. We found great comfort in that. It was very comforting. But Paul, you can't deny the fact in our lives of death and the grave. Why do you say this? Why do you challenge them? Don't you feel their power? Don't you know we're afraid of them? Don't you know we try to avoid thinking about them all the time? Don't you know our sins that remain within us make us afraid of death? This is too bold. No. No, Paul is not rash. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, is not rash. But he is standing in faith. He is standing in faith. Union. Faith is union. Believing in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Faith is, it is no more I that live, but Christ liveth in me. He's standing here in faith, in Christ, in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not human bravado. This is not merely a man's inspiring words. This is not hope from man or from the earth. But this is the victory that belongs to us through Jesus Christ today, through God's Son, our Lord, our risen Lord Jesus Christ. This is the reality for everyone who is by God's grace in Jesus Christ, by the gift of faith, God-given faith, believing in Christ. This is our possession. This is our confidence. We have the victory over death and over the grave itself. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That word victory is triumph, who gives us triumph. And it refers to a victor, to a conqueror who has triumphed, who has gone forth to engage the enemy of his people and has now won the victory. He has triumphed over the enemy. And you remember from biblical days that the king who gained the triumph over the enemies would put his feet over the neck of his enemies, over the kings and over their powers. He'd put his feet on their neck, or he'd return to his city, and behind him would be the powers, the kings that he had conquered, that he had enslaved now to serve him, so that the enemy now had become his servants to do his will. That's the idea of the word. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. That means that the grave and death are now our servants. That's all they are. They are servants to us. The victory of Jesus Christ was not a temporary, it was not a partial victory. It was not a postponed victory, postponement of further hostilities, but it's complete. It's irrevocable. It's absolute. Our victory in Christ over sin, condemnation, the grave, and death is complete. Now follow with me. First of all, in verse 55, where Paul is issuing his challenge, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He was not launching out on his own, but he was quoting Holy Scripture. He was quoting from Hosea chapter 13, verse 14, a promise that God had spoken long ago in the Old Testament. Hosea 13, verse 14, a promise that God had spoken to Ephraim, who had fallen into sin, and to whom God would yet show mercy and hide Ephraim's sin. God said at that time to His people, to His elect in Christ, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Death, I will be the plague that eats you up. Grave, I will destroy you. So he's quoting, when he issues the challenge, he's quoting a promise of God in the Old Testament. It is never rash. It is never false courage to take the word of God in your mouth and to speak it to whatever is besetting you, whatever is overwhelming you, whatever is too much for you. It is never rash to speak God's word into the face of your fears and troubles, for there is more power. There is more reality. There is more truth in one word of God than all your eyes can ever see. Your eyes see it. How can it be? It's overwhelming. It can't be. It can't be. There is more power in one word from God than all your eyes will ever see. Secondly, Paul, when he asked the question, is standing in this chapter on resurrection morning. I mean, he's standing on the resurrection morning of his return to the earth. He's standing by faith in that moment when Christ will return with all of his saints and his holy angels. That day of immortality. That day when Jesus Christ is returning to the earth and he will stand before the graves and he will speak the name of each person, each one of his own in those graves, and they shall come forth to the resurrection of life. He has been speaking of that moment, the twinkling of an eye, that moment when we shall be changed. He said that there would be some of the people of God who would be alive yet, we shall not all sleep. That means that when Jesus comes in the last day, there will be some who have not fallen upon death. There will be some who will not die, and they will be changed as they stand on the earth. The rest of us will be raised. We will be raised up from the dead, and we shall be changed. The trumpet shall sound. What the Bible calls the trumpet of the archangel. There will be a clear sound of victory. And our bodies shall be raised imperishable. The grave, death, and the grave must give up. They must give us up to the resurrection. This corruptible. Corruptible means you don't take a shower, you smell. This corruptible means we get influenza and we die. This corruptible will put on incorruption. And this mortal will put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed in victory. God's Son has paid the price of His own life. Condemnation is passed from us, and our very bodies shall be glorified. Christ bore the sting of death. Christ endured the condemnation of our grave. And now our souls, secured by His death and resurrection, are lifted to heaven, and our bodies placed in the dead, in the grave, to wait the resurrection morning when God will call it. God will call our bodies up. And we shall be changed. Number three, Paul knew when he issued the challenge, and we know, the gospel of God's amazing grace. Death, as I said, the sting of death, sin, has been paid by Christ. So we may say, we may talk to death when it comes to scare us. And we may say, I know about your sting. I know about that sin. I know you like to leer at me and remind me of my sin. Yes, death. But I want to tell you something about your sting, death. I want to tell you about my sin. If I belong to myself, if you belong to yourself, I would fear you, death. But I don't belong to myself. I don't bear that sin anymore. Have you forgotten that, death? Have you forgotten that grave when you tried to make me afraid? Did you forget that? You frighten me. You try to frighten me. but I don't belong to myself. My sins have been paid. I belong to my risen Savior. He has risen with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Didn't we sing that this morning? We sang that with our children. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Death and grave, you can't hold me, because my condemnation for my sin is gone. I won't descend into hell. Death and grave, you're a servant. And I will enter into the presence of Jesus, and I will see him standing at the right hand of God to receive me into Father's house. And then number four, please note Paul's question. The way that the question is asked, death and the grave don't want to answer that question. Satan does not want to answer this question. For Paul did not ask, the Scriptures did not ask, death, what is your sting? What is your sting, death? Death, what is your victory? We know what the sting of death is. It's sin. We know what the victory of the grave is. It's condemnation. Paul says to death and the grave, I didn't ask you, what is your sting? Grave and death come to you and say, your sin. You deserve to be condemned for your sin. Paul says, I didn't ask you what your sting and what your victory is. I didn't ask you what they were. I asked you this question. Where is your sting? Where? Grave, where is your victory? Answer that question, death. Answer that question, grave. Answer the question. Where are they? They're buried on Mount Calvary. They have been swallowed whole. Your sting, death. Where was it? It was pressed into the side of my Savior. And all the burning of my sin went into him. Your condemnation, grave, was poured upon his soul. He went to hell. He endured hell's torments on the cross when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where are they? Death, have you forgotten? Grave, devil, have you forgotten? Answer the question. Where are they? They're gone. My sin and condemnation is gone. Where's your sting? Where's your victory? Thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks. That word is grace. Grace be unto God. All grace to God who giveth. He gives it. Solely gives it. Of grace alone in his Son. And so Paul said in this chapter at verse 10, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's God's grace. All God's grace. Death and the grave will come to talk to you. Death will come to talk to you and say, you are a sinner, and you know you're a sinner. And you remember, as you think of death, your sins. You must speak back to death. And you must remind death, the Lord is my shepherd. I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't fear you, death. He forgave my sin. Death, you say to death, death, go away. The fear of death, go away. You don't need to come to talk to me again. He has forgiven me. Jesus is risen. Jesus is my righteousness. Death, I want you back at God's appointed time. You come back just once more to me. Just come back one more time to be my servant, to bring me to heaven. Grave, I don't fear you either. Grave will have me, but it will be a place where my body will rest. You can't bring me to hell, drop me into the lake of fire. Grave, my soul will go to heaven, and you will keep me in the bowels of the earth until God says you must give me up, and you give me up to the resurrection of the dead. This is our salvation. And this gives us peace. This gives us hope. This gives us strength. This gives us strength for the journey this week. No matter the way that the Lord will lead us in this week on our journey, this gives us strength. This gives us hope. We belong in the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. This is our priority. Our priority is to live with Christ in all that we do and to seek His kingdom. If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections on the things that are above and not below. Give your heart unto the things that are of Jesus Christ. Have your priorities straight. The Hope Heralds, in one of their programs, sang a song, I forget the title of it, and it speaks to us of this hope that is ours in Christ Jesus, this perfect hope, and it encourages us that this perfect hope must cause each day of our life to be a faithful day and to run our race well, to make every day a day of running our race, living in Christ every day. It says, there will come a day, I know without a doubt, around the throne the saints will bow down every crown. How glorious that moment to see Him face to face, to hear Him say, well done, my child, you've finished the race. Finish well. Amen. Our Father and our God, such a powerful, true gospel in the risen Lord. Our sins, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and we bear them no more. Our condemnation has been paid. Death, our two greatest enemies, death and the grave, our servants, subdued as servants of our salvation. Give us to walk in hope strongly, to continue our race in this week, to press on the mark of the high calling that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give each one of us thy precious grace, that we may walk with the risen Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.